Argue, talk, talk, talk. Exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Welcome. This is indeed Spouting Off. It's a pleasure to be with you. And this is show number 39, believe it or not. So next week we're going to celebrate our 40th show. It is the day before Independence Day. Now, in the Jewish religion, all our holidays start the evening before the perceived holiday, because we're on a lunar calendar, you may know. So there's a Hebrew word for the day before a holiday. We call it Erev. Erev. E-R-E-V, Erev. So Erev Independence Day is now. We are on the eve of Independence Day. And I definitely have some things I want to talk to you about having to do with Independence Day. I'm jazzed about the show today. Going to mention a couple of issues that are coming down the pike, breaking news right now. And then I'll tell you about our wonderful guests that we'll have after the break. Breaking news right now is Peter Strzok has been subpoenaed by Chairman Goodlatte to publicly testify before a joint House Judiciary and House Oversight hearing. Guess when? A week from today, probably at the same time that we're broadcasting Spouting Off, or maybe it'll be over by then, I don't know. Tuesday, July 10th at 10 a.m. Eastern. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, it won't be anywhere near, so that's neat. I'll be able to watch it, and then I will report to you, and I hope you watch it too. This 18-month debacle is historic, unlike anything we have ever seen. And along with all the rest of what makes it so historic is that the media refuses to report any of it. It's like they're living in an alternative universe. Once upon a time, there was Walter Cronkite, who everyone thought was objective and fair. He wasn't. He was to the left of center, as most journalists are. But in his particular case, this was a different era in which at least there was the appearance of objectivity. Today, which in my opinion helps us out a little bit, today we have a supposed mainstream media, they're not so mainstream anymore, that everyone knows is not just biased against Donald Trump, biased against Republicans and conservatives, but many would say that they are the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party is merely a figurehead. So it's quite obvious, and frankly, the more obvious it is, the better I like it, because there's a lot of people that don't watch this this stuff 24/7, and I watch it. And if you're listening to me, I bet you watch it too. So break out the popcorn as Peter Strzok testifies publicly. Now, this is interesting because he did testify, but he did not testify under oath. I just think it's fascinating that the FBI loves to put people under oath and then to go after them when they say something or misspeak because they were under oath, but they never put their own people under oath. Did you know that Hillary Clinton was not put under oath when she testified and the fix was already in? And that isn't even what I was going to talk about. So a week from today, July 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern, that's 8 a.m. I'll be watching. I hope you will too. last night, the Nebraska Republican Party's headquarters was vandalized with a large window shattered by a brick and the message, "Abolish ICE," spray painted beneath. Sad, awful, but not surprising in the least. What I think is good for our side is that these unhinged, crazed liberals don't even know how bad this plays And that's a great thing, because I'm sure that if the Democrat strategists, of which there are many in smoke-filled rooms, maybe not as many as we think, a lot of them tend to kind of put out the word from on high as to what all the Democrats are going to march to. I think that they would really wish that the Democrats would go back to lying as well as they have in recent years. And Trump has this miraculous ability to bring out the insane in people. Now, that doesn't mean he makes them insane. A great article recently that they're already blaming Trump for making them insane. I love that. It's a beautiful thing. And I don't think Trump is doing it accidentally. I think he's doing it very purposefully. And he's one of the few people, I just got through writing this on Facebook, who could possibly do it and get away with it and know how to do it, shall we say, properly. He basically just drives them crazy and then stands back and lets them show who they really are. What I want you to remember, what we all must remember, is when they go back to lying, which I don't see is going to happen anytime soon, but when they go back to lying, remember who they really were when they stopped. It's very important because people have short memories in politics. Now, that doesn't mean every single Democrat. What it means is the kind of insanity and the violence and the smearing and the bullying that you're seeing, this is a lot of what the left is up to and has been up to for a very long time. They just lie about it really, really well. And that isn't even the main thing. Let me tell you after the break, and we're going to talk Independence Day in just a moment. After the break, I'm honored and pleased to have with us as our guest for the rest of the hour, Maria Espinoza. And you'll get to learn more about Maria's project, the Remembrance Project, that pays tribute. Got to take that antacid. That's why I'm clearing my throat. It pays tribute to and in memorial of people who have been killed, murdered by illegal aliens, which the left doesn't seem to be bothered much about at all. She is quite a charismatic speaker, and she knows what's going on with the immigration issue as well as anyone. I thought it was apropos given the eve of Independence Day, because Donald Trump is taking this issue on head on and saying what a lot of people have thought but couldn't figure out why we haven't done it. And that is to change our immigration policy to reflect merit, not identity politics. And of course, the left wants identity politics because they want a whole new voting bloc. As we all know, the amazing thing is that Republicans seem to want it too. So we'll get into that. But it's important to me to not only mark Independence Day on this show, Spouting Off, but to talk a little bit about my sentiments about why everybody, well, not about why, about why I think we need to borrow something from my tradition, the Jewish tradition. In recent years, there's been a growing number of voices, including that of Dennis Prager, a very eloquent, very, very smart thinking guy. And he has suggested, actually we've suggested it as Jewish Republicans for a long time in our small circles, that America needs a 4th of July Seder. Now, even secular Jews know what a Seder is. Even non-Jews, most of them, know what a Seder means. In Hebrew, it means order. That's all it means. But it's so much more. Children who are brought up in Judaism always remember Seder as that ridiculously long meal in which at least one person wants to know how long it'll be until we eat, and three other people provide a detailed analysis of the consistency of the matzo balls, right? Because that's how I remembered it. But that there's so much more to Passover than that. I won't tell the Passover story, but the Seder is really important. We didn't have, not only did we not have the benefit of the internet, we didn't have the benefit of published works of books and other things. So what was the best and easiest way to pass down the story of the Exodus to freedom, which the Jews made from Egypt to the land of milk and honey, Israel? Well, it was the Exodus, one of the most important stories in all of Judaism. And as you probably know, there are a lot of important stories in Judaism. And it was a brilliant idea to ingest a meal, to ingest the story of the Exodus by having a ritual meal called the Seder. Some of you listening may know that, and it's not even disputed, we have theological differences with Christians. As far as I'm concerned, vive la difference. I have no problem with it. Christians are some of the best friends Israel's got. And as long as they don't stick a gun to your head and ask you and tell you that you got to convert, as some other religions do, I'm cool with it. But Jesus was celebrating Passover on, Good Friday. No. Whatever. He was celebrating Passover right before he was murdered and crucified, right? That's how the story goes. Jesus was a Jew. He was practicing his religion. And no, by the way, Jesus was not the Passover lamb. You know, I figure if you want to celebrate and take as part of your religion, Judaism, you might as well listen to the people who are still practicing it and actually practicing it. If you want to learn about Judaism, talk to a Jew. Don't talk to me. I'm not that educated about Torah. However, I definitely grew up and am 100% Jewish and proud of it. So the Seder is a ritual meal designed really to tell the story of the Exodus to the next generation, to the kids. If you've ever been to a Seder, you know that there are many rituals that have everything to do with kids. They involve the kids. They ask kids to ask questions. They're ritualized questions, and it's a very interesting one. The one we always hear in Passover is Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh, which means, why is this night different than all other nights? And so I wrote a piece not long ago, why is this country different from all other countries? Well, what we need, what we are sorely in need of, is a ritual meal. I don't care if it's hot dogs and hamburgers. Actually, it'd be smarter if it was turkey, because Benjamin Franklin wanted that to be the national animal, the national bird, since the pilgrims and the people who came to the New World ate turkey together and sat down to a meal. Nonetheless, there are many rituals in Seder, in a Seder, and all of them are designed to tell the story so that people will not forget, and they will tell it to their children and their children's children. Well, America, as you know, has a brilliant, wonderful story about freedom, about the exceptionalism of America, about the freedom of America of breaking free from the British crown. They were a long way away, and still the British crown was controlling them. They wanted their independence. So actually, it's Obama's administration that has created a resurgence of passion about learning about what America is about. So I guess you could, you know, in a weird sort of way, thank former President Obama for bringing us so far to the edge of the cliff that Americans said, you know what, I don't think I really want to go there. Today, socialism is no longer a dirty word. That's evidence that America's story of freedom hasn't been successfully passed down to the next generation, or even a lot of the current generation. America is a wonderful place, but it's not just a place. It's an idea. And America has borders. We're going to talk about that with Maria Espinoza. But today we stand at a tipping point of losing that idea and the freedoms on which it was founded. Now, as I say, I'm incredibly optimistic these days, and I know things change. But I'm celebrating tomorrow and tonight Independence Day and the day which commemorates our freedom, commemorates the signing of the Declaration of Independence by the Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm going to give you a little bit of history here, and then we could talk a little bit about what would you want in that Independence Day Seder. I've given it some thought. I have. So at the time of the signing of the U.S., at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, that's it, the United States consisted of 13 colonies under the rule of England's King George III. There was growing unrest in the colonies concerning the taxes that had to be paid to England. This was commonly referred to as taxation without representation, as the colonies did not have any representation in the English Parliament and had no say in the laws laid down upon them. As unrest grew in the colonies, King George sent extra troops to help control the rebellion. In 1774, the 13 colonies sent delegates to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to form the First Continental Congress. The delegates were unhappy with England, but were not yet ready to declare war. In April 1775, as the king's troops advanced on Concord, Massachusetts, Paul Revere would sound the alarm. Do you remember this from your history books? I'm glad you do, because the kids today, I fear, are not learning this story. And Paul Revere sounded the alarm that the British are coming, the British are coming, as he rode his horse through the streets. He didn't have texting or the internet. The Battle of Concord and its shot heard round the world would mark the unofficial beginning of the colonies' War of Independence. For almost a year, the Congress tried to work out its differences with England, again without formally declaring war. By June 1776, a committee was formed to compose a formal declaration of independence, headed by, and I editorialize, the brilliant Thomas Jefferson. The committee included John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Robert Livingston, and Roger Sherman. Thomas Jefferson was chosen to write the first draft, which was presented to the Congress on June 28th. After a bunch of changes, the vote was taken on the 4th of July, and 13 colonies, 9 voted in favor of the declaration, 2, Pennsylvania and South Carolina, voted no, Delaware was undecided, and not surprisingly, and I kid, New York abstained. To make it official, John Hancock, president of the Continental Congress, signed the Declaration of Independence, and it is said that John Hancock signed his name with a great flourish so King George could read that without spectacles. The following day, copies of the Declaration were distributed. The first newspaper to print the Declaration was the Pennsylvania Evening Post on July 6th. It took 2 full days to print it. Think how we get news today. Think how I knew that Nebraska was hit with vandalism. And I think it was this morning. On July 8th, the Declaration had its first public reading. And then there was the Liberty Bell, more. And I'm speeding ahead. And although the signing of the Declaration wasn't completed until August, the 4th of July has been accepted as the official anniversary of the United States independence. The first Independence Day celebration took place the following year, in 1777. So as I mentioned, Ben Franklin wanted our national bird to be the turkey. The turkey nourished our pilgrim forebears, he explained. You should wash it down with sassafras tea. That's what Americans drank while boycotting the tea of the British East India Company, which the king subsidized because it was, quote, too big to fail. And the most American of foods and a July tradition, corn on the cob. For dessert, Dolly Madison ice cream and perhaps Martha Washington's sponge cake. So after our celebration, go home, or if you're already home, and read the Declaration of Independence. But don't skip over the grievances. What would our founders have to say about the course of human events today? Share the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the very idea of America with everyone, especially liberals and children. I know there's a joke there. One and the same sometimes. and we're not immune either. So Republicans and all citizens need to read it. I used to resist going to Passover Seders, but you know what? It's important to be reminded. It's important to educate children. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I'm getting verklempt. That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I use that phrase a lot. It's the consent of the governed. I could do another hour on that, but I won't. The Declaration continues that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. It's actually that line, and I editorialize, that bothers me so much about a left gone wild in this country that claims that the constitutionality of things are not constitutional, and that borders, language, and culture are the opposite of what is constitutional. It breaks my heart that the left has turned logic and reality on its head. On its head, I tell you, where a man who is returning under enormous duress, but you can't tell it by looking at his face. You can't tell it by watching his rallies all over this country. Our President Donald Trump loves what he's doing. And under great duress, our president, our current president, an unlikely president in so many ways, that's what makes him great, is returning this country, in some cases kicking and screaming, to its founding principles. Everyone said Donald Trump was not an ideologue. I'm not sure he is. But he is a proud American, and he understands the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. He understands it well enough to know that we were a hair's breadth from losing it all. And now we stand on the eve, not only of the 4th of July, 2018, we stand on the eve of our president naming a new justice of the United States Supreme Court. Now, I don't like to get too excited about it because I wish that the Supreme Court justices weren't so darned important. It has been the left that has made it so very important. There are 9 people in black robes. They are not our betters. They are not our kings and queens. We left Britain to get rid of that. Their job is to uphold the Constitution and to make sure that laws that get put into practice and disputes of the highest order get decided under the Constitution. So when you hear the left scream about conservative justices and liberal justices, it's only the liberals who want liberal justices. Conservatives want justices to do their job, which is to uphold the Constitution and revere the oath of their office. I'm going to say the last, my favorite line of the Declaration of Independence, because I don't think anything should be said after that. I don't. So I'm going to say these lines because it does get me verklempt and I'm going to have to like take a breath afterwards. But when we come back after the break and after I say these lines, we will be joined by Maria Espinoza, and we'll have a wonderful discussion about the kind of immigrants that came to this country who love America, who want to flourish in America, and who understand what America is all about. And so the last lines of the Declaration of Independence, which so many of us love so much, you could not improve on these words. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We'll be right back. Are you there?
Hi, I'm Eric, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on natural rights versus entitlements.
America was founded on the idea that human beings are born with natural rights, such as the rights to life, liberty, and property. A person who holds this view of rights makes no demands on others except that they respect those rights. Today, however, many Americans talk about rights to a college education, state-of-the-art medical care, and even birth control pills. These are rights understood as entitlements, and a person who holds this view of rights, far from making no demands on other people, is making claims on other people's money and resources. This understanding of rights not only sets citizens against each other, but it undermines the whole idea of natural rights.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to ConstitutionMinute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. Thank you so much for joining us. That was really something. I hope you're doing something wonderful on the 4th of July, watching fireworks, having a cookout, all very American things. But take a moment, take more than a moment, to read the Declaration of Independence and share it with your family and your kids. I am delighted to have with us Maria Espinoza, who was born in Texas and resides in Houston. She's a third generation Texan, her mother instilled in her and her six brothers and sisters the American traditions of God, family, and country. She heads up an organization called the Remembrance Project, which is just so important. Her work has led to the development of something called the Stolen Lives Quilt, a collection of 3-foot by 6-foot banners showing the faces and names of our country's victims of illegal alien killings. So thank you so much for being with us, Maria Espinoza. Glad you could join us on this eve of 4th of July. Tell us something about the Remembrance Project. What do people need to know who've never heard of it before?
Yes, the Remembrance Project was started in 2009 by myself and my husband, Timothy Ling, and that was because we had heard about the sanctuary city policies in Houston, Texas, and that came about, Karen, through seeing on the news the Houston police officer, Henry Canales, who was murdered by an illegal alien, and they had mentioned that a year and a half prior to that, that the widow of another Houston police officer, Rodney Johnson, had filed a lawsuit against the city, and it had to be over the sanctuary city policies. We had never heard about these types of policies, and we were just shocked and disappointed that illegal aliens were basically untouchable and were able to circumvent our laws. So that's how the Remembrance Project started, and quickly realizing that the media was not doing their job, because obviously we didn't hear about it. We created the Stolen Lives Quilt banners to honor and remember Americans and to be able to connect the dots for the communities, you know, in different towns. You wouldn't hear maybe a killing in Houston, but and of one that took place in Austin. So, you know, we feel like this is an epidemic of killings of Americans by people who shouldn't even be in the country in the first place.
And not only that, but you really are speaking sentiments that are, I believe, extremely, to use the word, popular in America. It's only the certain enclaves of places on the far left coasts and in Hollywood and other places that think they are on the right side of this issue, and nothing could be further from the truth. Do you get people saying to you, you know, oh, you have a Hispanic last name, it means you shouldn't be doing this? Do you get that?
We do at times, you know, but I think that what we're seeing now is that more and more Hispanics are joining us and speaking up. You know, 3 years ago, in fact, there was a big demand from our supporters who were Hispanic, and in response to their demand.
We lost Maria, but we're going to get her back momentarily. What I am going to do when she comes back is have her explain this kids in cages story, which the left has just gone bananas with. If anybody is well suited to tell us exactly what's going on there with facts and figures, it's her. I've heard her on a variety of talk radio programs. In fact, you should go to her website called The Remembrance Project. Do we have Maria back?
Yes, Karen, can you hear me?
Hi, I am so sorry we lost you there for some reason. What were you saying when we got cut off first?
Yes, America First Latinos. Yes, we create another initiative just because of demands from Hispanics. And it's been over 3 years now. And, you know, we're still growing. So, and I just read an article on Breitbart that they talked about that President Trump's approval rating is increasing, and largely in the Hispanic community, by 10%.
What a blessing. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Let's move on, Maria. Can you tell us, the left is wonderful at inciting hatred and violence based on their supposed proclamations of compassion. You know, just, I don't know. And this whole story of kids in cages, you know, if there was a person out there who didn't really know what was going on, You know, what would you tell them about this story? What's the facts? What are the lies?
Right. Well, first of all, the photos that were released were from 2014, which is the Obama era. So those were a big lie. And, you know, they're just trying to drum up some fake news to try to pull on the heartstrings of Americans. But more and more Americans are realizing the truth and injecting some common sense where our families are permanently separated. And the truth is, Karen, is that these minors who are in detention centers, first of all, their parents did not come through any of the ports of entry and claim asylum. They decided to cross illegally. And that's why, just like any parent, American parent, if they broke our laws, they will be separated from their children, as they should. This is the law. So illegal aliens should not be held above the law here in our country. And plus, let's take a look. They're fed 3 meals a day with air conditioning facilities. They have a foosball, basketball, you know, ping pong tables. You know, this is games and television. You know, I mean, this is just it's like a resort for illegal alien minors.
You know what, Maria? It drives. You see, I can't even talk. It drives people with a logical brain, I think, utterly crazy when they hear the left jump up and down and scream with their hair on fire about how it's our fault that parents who are irresponsible and abusive to their own kids, who drag them to a foreign country, it is now our responsibility. Am I saying we should be inhumane? No, that's not what I'm saying. But it reminds me suspiciously of the guy who breaks into your house and then gets angry at you because you won't feed him a steak dinner.
Right, right. And proceeds to pick up your belongings and place them in his sack and gets it to his child and they can keep it, right, as he's arrested.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Right. And yet they get away with this and they incite people more and more. I think we're winning, Maria, because they've incited people to such irrationality that people are saying, hey, wait a minute. Where did all this come from? In my opinion, they've been this insane and radical all along. This is what they really wanted all along. They just have been hiding it until now. So the latest big push, very, very recent, very timely. Oh, my. A lot of leftist leaders are telling their people that they want to abolish ICE. That's what that Nebraska arsonist wanted, whoever it was who threw a brick through the GOP window, abolish ICE. What do you think about that, Maria Espinoza?
That is insanity. Insanity, Karen, and chaos. And this is what they want to cause, is mayhem and chaos. You know, they want to abolish ICE. They want to erase our borders. That's why they shred our Constitution. And one thing also that I didn't mention is, you know, some of these parents who are sending their children across the desert, supposedly, they're giving their daughters birth control, knowing that they would be raped and molested on the way.
Oh, my God. It's hard to even hear.
It is. It's really sad and what they're putting their children through. You know, and these aren't parents. These are not good parents. But we also understand that these other countries are pushing out their citizens, their undesirables. They want United States to take care of them and also, you know, receive U.S. foreign aid. But you're right. Take a look at what's going on. Abolish ICE, abolish our laws, sanctuary for illegal aliens. You're right. I think that President Trump is gaining support because there is no common sense in what these anarchists are pushing.
Well, and they're still protesting it even after he called their bluff. He said he wouldn't separate families anymore. And what did they do? I mean, I'm telling you, I have never seen such a master at helping the country see and expose who these people really are. Why are they protesting when he just said he wasn't going to do it anymore, right?
Right, exactly. You know, I call this a process, this revolution that that's taking place all across the United States, you know, on our side, because President Trump is exposing the far left liberal agendas, and it just doesn't work. You know, so you see what California, even California, pushing back against Governor Jerry Brown's SB 54 sanctuary state law. You know, so they're still fighting there, and I think that's why we're gaining ground. We have right on our side. We want safe communities where we can, you know, raise our children and do business and live peacefully. But it's not what's on their plan.
That hasn't been. Could you clarify for everyone? Again, we're living in such an alternative universe with the media the way it is, that during the previous president's administration, I have a hard time even saying his name. Isn't that terrible? You know, during the previous president's administration, from what I hear, there were 18,000, that's the number I've heard, so-called unaccompanied minors. Now, Obama, I said his name, was encouraging people all over the country to send their kids here unaccompanied so that he could then deposit them in Republican areas and where he wanted to build communities and then bring their families in after. Do I have that right? And of course, the media never reported any of this. And the left didn't get upset at unaccompanied minors being sitting ducks for sex trafficking and all the rest. What am I missing here? I don't get it.
You're absolutely right, Karen. You're absolutely right. You know, we had heard in Texas along the border that there were, you know, they were busing them in also, and that they were placing them in certain parts of the country. So you're right. He was planting them in strategic areas, if you would. You know, so yeah, we knew that was taking place. And, you know, we also have to think of this. A lot of those unaccompanied minors are very vulnerable to gang recruitment. And that's why you're seeing the increase
Without
in the MS-13 gang membership and the violence.
It's frightening. A story just came out, and this illegal alien happens to be from like Denmark or something. It was just reported recently that in Colorado, and as you know, I'm in Colorado and parts north of there, like Wyoming, that the arsonist in Colorado who has responsible for burning just an ungodly number of the most damaging fire ever was an illegal alien.
Yes, I heard that too.
Did you? I don't know his name, don't want to, but that's who, and these are the people that the left says is no big deal, right? They don't think it's a big deal that we're allowing in terrorists and MS-13 gang members. I mean, what do you tell? I'm assuming that you talk to people who aren't as adamant, passionate as you and I are. What's one of the best arguments you give when they either say, well, but they're kids in cages and we have to be humane and all that. And they want to make us look like the bad guy.
Right. I think that you can't argue with giving Americans the very basic. Number one, you know, we don't have to allow anyone into our country. And that's the baseline, Karen. You know, and also we have a front door. There is a process where millions of Americans, like my father, arrived the right way, and illegal immigrants here in the United States who came the right way. And it's completely unfair to allow someone to come in the back door and be at the front of the line. You know, so, but I think the most egregious of all of this illegal immigration problem is the loss of life. And that's why we focus, you know, why the Remembrance Project focuses on the killings. Our families are permanently separated from their loved ones, never to see them again until they reunite in heaven.
It's extraordinary.
There's no argument with that.
It's extraordinary how the left that is screaming about compassion completely ignores what you're talking about. That's why the work you're doing is so incredibly important, because were it not for you, it would be just a statistic. terrible.
Well, and we don't even have those, Karen. We just have, we can say someone was killed by an illegal alien, but we don't have that number because, you know, last year, Tim and I met with Attorney General Jeff Sessions and asked him for statistics on how many Americans have been killed by illegal aliens. And his response was that it was impossible to obtain because the municipalities do not cooperate with the federal government. And this is a very sad situation. You know, I just received a text from one of the families today in from Texas, and their son, Spencer, was shot in the head while he waited at a traffic light. 25 years old, entrepreneur, employed 9 people in his small guitar shop. He had just taken his girlfriend out to dinner that next day. It was to be his re-grand opening of his new space, which he built out with his own two hands. You know, those jobs that Americans won't do.
Yeah.
And they spent today decorating his gravesite, you know, red, white, and blue. And all, so this is what our families have to deal with every single day, you know, holidays, birthdays, family gatherings. You know, there's no wedding, there's no grandchildren in their lives, Christmases, and, you know, you name it. It's just a terrible place our government has placed American citizens at by placing illegal aliens above their best interests.
It just, it talk about making your head explode. I mean, you have to ask yourself what sort of a motive it is when people that are supposed to, that we elect and pay their salary are putting us in harm's way and fellow citizens. What do you think about this socialist president that just was elected, whose name escapes me, from Mexico, who's advocating that Now, if socialism is so great, why is he advocating that we're supposed to take all of his people? I don't get it.
Right. It's insane. It's Abrador.
Abrador.
Call him AMLO, right? You know, he's already calling for a rush on our border. So I think that Americans need to read up about him, and I think it's even more that President Trump will even gain more support for a wall. And Congress must fund that wall. We need a wall. We need to place the safety of our country first. And we need our elected officials to legislate for the betterment of Americans instead of filling their pockets. In fact, I say this, Karen, that these politicians, and I put a lot of blame on the GOP moderates, you know, they're more concerned about filling their reelection campaign coffers with the blood money while our children fill America's coffins.
Oh, you are such an articulate voice for this unbelievably important issue. I'm proud, delighted that you're doing the work you're doing. I was going to say I'm proud that we are the state that gave the country Tom Tancredo, who was talking about this issue before anybody even had it on their radar screen. A tremendous visionary, Tom Tancredo, who only ran for office some years ago to point out this issue, that we weren't just losing, you know, our values, but our very culture, our very existence was getting, we were being invaded and then being told that we were racist and xenophobic because we didn't want to be invaded. It's pretty amazing.
We know Tom, and we're very pleased to call him
Tom Tancredo. I mean, if you don't know Tom Tancredo, I mean, he is a star in Colorado, and a lot of people love to hate him, which only means that he's effective. if you're not getting enemies, you know you're not doing anything right. Speaking of enemies, you happen to mention, we didn't get the time to talk about this, about what you had politely referred to as our Republican moderates. See, I don't think they're moderates. I think that they are. I don't think they're Republicans, whatever that is, but they seem to be taking their orders from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I don't really think it is just cheap labor. I've always been suspicious that it's a lot more than that. What do you think about that,
Maria? Right. The U.S. Chambers of Commerce, the hotel, restaurant, construction industries, you know, so I hate to even think of anything else that they might be filling their pockets, you know, from whom they were taking money from. But either way, Karen, you know, they're traitors. We have to recruit. We have to replace them because, you know, we've spent this last year and a half almost in Washington, D.C. We've seen so much, learned so much, and understand that the only way that we're going to fix this country and get it back on track and follow President Trump's America First agenda is to replace these politicians. They will absolutely not do what they're supposed to do, what they were hired to do.
And people are finding that out, that if we really want Trump's agenda to continue and we don't want this preposterous, oh, you know, they'll impeach him. They don't care if there's evidence. They don't care if there's a crime. They want to impeach him because they lost the election. There was something I was going to ask you. Doggone, there's so much to say. I was going to say that the only thing I can figure other than cheap labor is why some of these people, including the Bushies, are so committed to illegal immigration. It's a globalist thing. It's about globalism.
Yes.
They don't believe in borders. I would like them to just take off the doors off their front mansions and let everybody in. I really don't understand.
And release their security detail.
That's exactly right. They shouldn't have security, no borders, no boundaries, nothing. They have an obligation to take care of everyone else in the world. And the dirty little secret, and I know I'm just getting carried away because this is a very hot button issue for me, is that the dirty little secret is that this doesn't help the person that they're professing to help either. Boundaries, from a psychological standpoint, are essential in everybody's lives. One of my favorite phrases, and you can borrow it if you want. I don't think that's quite on your list, but if you can't say no, your yes means nothing.
Right.
If you can't say no, you can't come in. Then it doesn't matter whether you give your permission. It doesn't matter. Boundaries are important for everyone. It's what makes polite neighbors. Okay.
Absolutely.
In our last minute.
Hopefully learned that
Go ahead. Sorry.
We're supposed to have learned at a young age.
Yeah, but we got a lot of adolescents that are like 40, 50, 60. I love talking to you, Maria. Tell everybody how they can contact you, how they can reach you, and how they can be a part of the Remembrance Project.
Wonderful. Thank you, Karen. Yes, we can reach us through our website, theRemembranceProject.org. It's theRemembranceProject.org. And I do volunteer my time, so any donation, if it's a tax-deductible donation, is greatly appreciated. And you can donate right there on the website, and they can also sign up for our email there on the website as well. So we just ask for your prayers and pray for our country and our president, and just keep fighting out there.
Maria, you are doing spectacular work, you and your husband and your organization. Please, everyone, support Maria Espinoza and her project, the Remembrance Project. It's important for all of us because there, but for the grace of God, go us. These people who lost families, they're us. They are American citizens. Thank you for being with us, Maria, on this glorious day before 4th of July. Everyone, that's all the time we have. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And I just wish and hope that you have a splendid and blessed 4th of July celebration. Take a moment to read the Constitution, read the Declaration of Independence, read the Constitution too, but definitely read the Bill of Rights, and make sure that you stand up for every single one of them, as we are all doing now. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week when we'll have a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.